All right, good evening, number one. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church, Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study. If you would, please grab your songbooks and turn to Song 164. Praise Him, praise Him. 164. Sing it out on the first.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor, give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed.
Brother Moses, would you open the service in a word of prayer, please?
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather here together safely. I pray that you just put with us and lift up our voices and grace unto you. And I pray that you just lift pastor to come up and preach the message that you laid on his heart. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Now, if you would, for our second song, turn to 409. This is by request from Brother Jamie at Verity Baptist Church.
Fight is on, 409, on the first.
The fight is on, the trumpet sound is ringing out, the cry to arms is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory, the triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face it's heard. Hold fast,
Good evening. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. Before we start, if you didn't get the song handout, just raise your hand. We have some more in the back. We'll get you some. So let's go through the announcements real quick. Front page of the bulletin, weekly church service time. Sunday mornings are at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays are at 7 p.m. Underneath that is a list of soul winning times. The main time is Saturday mornings at 10:30, meeting right here. All the other times are subject to change. If you have questions, 208-391-5323. Back page. This weekend, this Sunday evening, will be in Hebrews chapter number 4. Old Testament Bible Reading Challenge. Charts are on the table right when you walk in. Still not too late to start that. I want to thank everybody for one more time for the gift that you guys gave me and for being such a great blessing to our guests. And hopefully everybody had a great time this weekend. That was a great time from the beginning all the way to the end. Great weekend out soul winning, too. You know, it's awesome. Let's see here. What is today's date? I never know. 27? You want to wait till December? Today's Isaiah's birthday. So that's fine. We'll wait till December for your song. But we're going to haze you after the service. So just prepare, all right? We're going to get you. This week's memory verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, which says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." We're a family-integrated church. What that means is we don't separate children from their parents for any reason. Dads, you got to use this room until June. And moms, you know where the mother-baby room's at, right across the hallway. If you have any issues with the monitor, come see Caden, and he'll fix it in 10 seconds or less. And let's see here. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction. And the very bottom line says what we call the resurrection. The world calls an insurrection. So we're going to have one more song before we receive the offering.
All right, we'll be singing our chorus of the month, "The Law of the Lord is Perfect." Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. On the first.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the
Let's go ahead and pray. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for allowing us to be able to meet here this evening. I just pray that you bless the service, Lord, and the fellowship afterwards, and bring us back all safely this weekend. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Some will be going through our prayer sheet. Remember, if you ever have a prayer request or a praise to put on the list, Just remember, you could put it on one of the communication cards, and you could drop it off in that little brown box on your way out the door. Or you could let one of us know, pastor, myself, or one of the brothers in the church, and we'll get you on here. Now, let's all bow our heads and have a word of prayer over these things. Dear Father God, we want to come before you this evening during this midweek service to lift up our praises and prayers to your holy name. And we want to start off by praying for more opportunities to preach to unsaved family, friends, and co-workers. We pray for the health and safety of our church families. We pray for the spiritual growth and wisdom of our church. We pray that God would continue to meet our church financial needs as we grow in number and space. And we pray for the spiritual needs of our communities, that they would desire the sincere word of God and to grow in doctrine. We pray for the safety, health, understanding, and wisdom of our children as they grow up in this decaying world. We pray for the like-minded churches to continue to grow and be protected from those that wish us all evil. We pray for the wicked leaders in our local, state, and national governments to be removed. We want to pray for the continued medical freedom that we all have as of right now, Lord. We want to pray for Brother Kevin and his dealings with the VA. We want to pray for the safe and healthy pregnancies and deliveries for our expecting mothers, Miss Melissa and Miss Joanna. And we pray for the health of Brother Stan's brother. And we also want to pray for Brother Stan. And we also want to pray for Miss Melissa. She has an unspoken prayer, Lord. You know all the details in that, Lord. And we want to pray for her. And we just pray for that situation, Lord. And we also want to pray for continued progress with Bella's speech therapy. I want to pray for Miss Melissa. She also has an unspoken prayer here, Lord. We just pray that you fulfill her needs in that situation, Lord. And we also want to pray that her parents have the opportunity to give the gospel to her grandparents. We want to pray for Miss Patty's family to be open to hearing the gospel as well. And we want to pray for the healing and recovery of our church and all those who've been getting sick in our church, Lord. And we just want to pray for special protection from this upcoming allergy season, Lord. And we also want to pray for Brother Skulk. We want to pray for his unsafe family to have their hearts open to receive the gospel, Lord. And Brother Skulk also has an unspoken prayer here, Lord, as well. We just want to pray that you meet his needs in that situation as well. And we also want to pray for the health and well-being of Brother Joe Maple's family and the issues with his mom's health, Lord. We pray that you be with all them, Lord, and be with them in this time. And we also want to praise you, Lord, for the safe and healthy arrival of baby Selah. We thank you for her, Lord. And we want to thank you for all of our church families and those who have been able to get saved this year. And we want to thank you for our freedom to continuously preach the gospel every week and for you keeping us safe during the battles we all fight. We thank you for exposing those who would come into the church to do harm or who wouldn't continue with us, Lord. We just thank you for weeding them out, and that they wouldn't be a problem. And we want to thank you for Brother Jeff's new job, Lord. We pray that you bless him in that as well. And we want to thank you for Kevin Jr., Lord, that he's no longer having scoliosis, pinched nerves, and that he's not having any more seizures, Lord. We thank you for him. And we want to thank you for Brother Kevin's new job as well. And we want to thank you, Lord, for Brother Jeff Hume's surgery, Lord, that it went well, Lord. We praise you for that. And we also want to thank you, Lord, and praise you for the 10 souls that were saved here in Boise over this Pastor Appreciation Weekend, Lord. We thank you for all this, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's turn our Bibles to Hosea chapter number 4. It's going to be right after the book of Daniel, Hosea chapter 4. And it's great to be back in church on Wednesday, amen. Hosea chapter number 4, when you get there, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible reads, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, And everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor approve another. For thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear, the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Brother Mike, will you pray for us, please?
All right, amen. Hosea chapter number 4. Now, I'm just going to give you the title, kind of tell you what we're talking about, and then I'll give you a quick overview of Hosea, and then we'll get into it this evening. The title of the sermon this evening is Being Polyamorous Isn't Glamorous. Okay, and I'm going to explain how I came up with that and all that junk here in just a minute. But when you read through the book of Hosea, one word keeps popping up, and it's different variations, and that word is whoredoms, whore, okay? And you say, what is this all about? Well, the sermon's about whoredoms, okay? You have to understand right now you are sitting in a church that is probably alone in this valley that would even dare touch this subject, okay? Most people, most churches wouldn't touch this subject with a 10-foot pole, but it's in the Bible, and you see this entire book devoted to this subject, okay? It's very important that we stand against whoredoms, and again, I'll get into it, what exactly that means, what it talks about, what it or who this applies to here in just a moment. But you have to understand that in our society today, whoredoms are being pushed physically and spiritually like never before, okay? It's being pushed to be accepted on all levels. There are laws that are being considered to be put into place to shut the mouths of anyone who would speak against that, okay? And we have to be a strong people. We have to be a people that understands the damages and the repercussions of whoredoms in our nations, because we're ambassadors. And in order to function as an ambassador for Christ, we need to understand our surroundings. We have to understand the society in which we live and what's really going on. Burying your head in the sand, being like, well, that just doesn't apply to me, right, is definitely the wrong thing to do, okay? And you will see that for sure today. So just a quick overview of the book of Hosea. It's been a while since we've preached out of this here, so I just want to give you a quick update. Now, if you remember, there are 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament, and three of those were dedicated to the northern kingdom of Israel. So you had Jonah, and you had Hosea and Amos, okay? So Amos was a contemporary of Hosea. Now, Hosea is preaching here to the northern kingdom of Israel.
But a lot of this stuff is also applicable to the New Testament. For example, in chapter number 2, the last few verses there describe what we call replacement theology. That, you know, Israel would no longer one day be, you know, the physical nation of Israel would no longer be considered God's people. For example, you guys know this, we talk about this all the time. The people who are in Israel today who identify as Jewish, right? The religion of Judaism, right? The Christ-rejecting nation. They are not God's people. Okay, just because you were born in Israel, or just because you did a DNA check and you traced a Jewish person in your history, you know, 200, 300, 400 years ago, that does not make you Jewish. What really makes you Jewish in the eyes of God is being saved, being born again. That's what a real Jew is. And it talks about that in chapter number 2. And so really the first three chapters describe Hosea. His life basically was insane, okay? God told him to marry a woman of whoredoms, okay? And her name was Gomer. So he had to live his life, you know, basically going through the ups and downs, you know, similar to what God did through the nation of Israel, right? How many times did they say, hey, we're going to follow the commandments, we're going to follow the statutes, and then they would do it for a little bit, and then they'd go whoring after other gods and after other philosophies and all these types of things. That happened all the time, okay? Think about this. This guy's life here, this prophet's life was like that. His life was designed to be a message unto the nation of Israel. And so you get to chapter number 4 and you start to read the consequences of what whoredoms do to a nation, what they do to a person. So that's what we're talking about this evening. Again, the title is called Being Polyamorous Isn't Glamorous. You say, how did you come up with that? Well, let me tell you a story here. Okay, so a few years ago, I was overseas, not going to mention the country, I've mentioned it a bunch of times, but there was this person, female, okay, and before I even start here, before I go any further, okay, it's not just women that can act as whores, there are guys that do the same thing, okay, the guys that go around fornicating all over the place, right, we don't typically call them whores, although I have in the past, and it really upsets them, they don't like that, okay, I call them all sorts of things, we'll get into that maybe later too, if I'm calm, okay? But going back to my story, okay, I was overseas doing some work in this country, and there was this girl on my crew, and I knew that she was dating this individual. She'd talk about it, oh, I'm going to dinner with so-and-so, whatever, you know, you sit around with these people, you just learn about their lives. So I'm leaving the base one day, and I see her with her boyfriend. I'm like, all right, whatever. Go up to my room. I get ready to go. I'm going to go take the train to go do some stuff. Come down the stairs, and she's holding hands with another guy. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that was a quick relationship. I mean, that was fast. This is no joke. That same day, probably 11 o'clock at night, I come home from the gym on the train. I see her with a different person. I'm like, I need to get my eyes checked here, okay? Because this is really crazy. So, you know, I start inquiring, like, hey, what in the world's going on, man? I keep seeing so-and-so with, like, all these different dudes. And they all work here. Like, how is this not going to be found out? And this guy says, she's polyamorous. I'm like, Polly, what? What in the world does that mean? I had to look it up in the, you know, on Google, of course, what that meant. And I do have the definition for you. I'm going to read it here in a moment. But I was just like, this is crazy. And her number of relationships increased in the entire 6 months that I was there. Okay. And as far as I know, like, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I'll come back to that in a second. So, two or three weeks ago that Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. Remember how we were watching the videos back here and just like rating his slap and his slap effectiveness and stuff? I started getting recommended videos. Okay, and I got this one, and it was his daughter. It was Will Smith's daughter talking about and defending being polyamorous. Okay, and I'm like, what in the world? There was that word again. I hadn't heard that word in a long time. And I started thinking, you know, I'm just racking my brain, like, wondering about all the publicity that Will Smith got after that event, right? And so it makes sense that now all of a sudden the algorithms of YouTube would basically push people who would look at that or hear about that to his family, but not only his family, but his own beliefs. For those of you who don't know, Will Smith is basically a male whore, right? And he's married to a female whore. That's what they are. And I don't know how to put this politely, but they're basically okay with that. Okay, and that has caused nothing but pain, turmoil, and problems in their own lives. And so I click on this video, And she is explaining how, I just don't believe that we should have to be with, you know, married to one person and tied down and bogged down. And her mom's agreeing with this. And they're sitting at this table, and someone else part of their family, and she's like, I don't know about all this. This sounds kind of crazy. She seems like the only one that has any kind of sense at all. But Will Smith's daughter, I mean, think about that. It was contagious, wasn't it? Because that's the exact philosophy that her mother subscribes to, that her father subscribes to, that marriage between a man and a woman isn't, you know, no big thing. It's no big deal. If you want to just have, you want to get married, but you also want to have a physical relationship with other people, then that's fine. That's okay. Who's to say otherwise? You can just do as thou wilt, right? And basically, that's the message of Hollywood. That's the message of the news media. That's the message that public school and that a lot of these colleges will tell you. Do as thou wilt. Where does that come from? It comes from Satan. It comes from the devil. That's where it comes from. And oh yeah, I get it. I'm going to get ridiculed for this, I'm sure. All right, you know, he's against people being polyamorous. Let me just give you the definition of what that really is. Okay, I'm going to read you the definition that the world gives, but I want to give you the definition that the Bible gives, and it's this: whoredoms. That's all it is. It's whoredoms. Okay, but they have all these different clever names to describe different types and kinds of whoredoms. Right? What does that do? What that does is it puts a seed in people's mind that aren't familiar with the Word of God or don't care about the Word of God or are not versed in the Word of God, and basically says, well, it's not like you're a prostitute. It's not like you're a whore. It's not like this. It's just how you were wired. It's just how you evolved. Because you have these desires doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you, okay? That is the philosophy. That is the idea that's being pushed in the world. And so whether or not Will Smith staged that event with Chris Rock, it doesn't really matter. The devil's behind it, and the devil runs Hollywood. And now all of that stuff about their relationship, how they operate, how they function, how they go against the Word of God, against marriage, against Genesis chapter number 1, 2, 3, the whole entire Bible, if you will, right? And these people are now able to push their views and their unrighteousness in the world, okay? So, with that being said, just listen to this definition. I took this definition, okay? It says, being polyamorous is this. And this is from a website called Very Well Mind, okay? Very Well Mind. And at the top of the article, it says, this article has been reviewed by a medical doctor, okay? Just listen to what they say about being polyamorous. It says this: polyamory, not to be confused with being polygamous. We'll talk about that later. But it says, polyamory is the non-possessive, honest, responsible, and ethical philosophy and practice of, don't miss this, loving multiple people simultaneously. Okay, that's what they're saying. According to the Polyamory Society, so they have their own society, okay? You know what word is floating through my brain right now? Cult. Right? Cult. They want to say that we're a cult because we preach that you should get married and save yourself from marriage and be with that person forever. They say that we're in a cult because we believe that. Well, they have their own society with their own rules and their own definitions. I would say that they're a cult. This polyamory emphasizes consciously choosing how many partners one wishes to be involved with rather than accepting social norms which dictate loving only one person at a time. You know, if I could just give that to you clearly, what they're saying is we hate God. Yeah. We hate God and we hate what he has instituted. Right. Plain and simple. That's what that means. And that's what's been reviewed by your medical doctor at verywellmind.com. Yeah. It's kind of funny that they have to have a website called Very Well Mind for this kind of filth. Yeah. And you know why? It's because people who initially get involved in this, a lot of times they are hurting. Okay, they are hurting and they feel guilty because God has written his law on every man's heart and their conscience smites them and they hate it with a passion, so they have to come up with things like this. So he goes on to say this, or she, whoever the hell wrote this, goes on to say, to be polyamorous means to have open, intimate, romantic relationships with more than one person at a time. People who are polyamorous can be, I'm not going to read all these definitions. You can be a tranny, you can be a dyke, you can be a trike, you can be a fag, you can be a hoe, you can be a skank, and you can be a pimp or a whoremonger. How's that? That's my list, okay? They've got these politically correct terms. I'm not even going to bother reading them to you, okay? But insert that there. and relationships between polyamorous people can include combinations of people of different orientations. Okay, so yeah, whatever that means. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 3, but keep your place there in Hosea chapter number 4. We will come back to it in just a moment. So again, okay, it's called whoredom. And both parties are responsible. So going back to that individual who I knew overseas, okay, all of her friends, all of her partners, if you will, they're just as guilty as she is, okay? And one of the questions I asked this guy in my career, I'm like, aren't they going to scrap? Is there going to be any kind of fighting? Like, and they're like, no, they're okay with this. I'm like, how sick, how twisted can you get? I'm like, people really come unglued when they get away from the United States, don't they? You know, the military calls it going on TDY. That's what they call it. You know, it's a temporary duty assignment. And I'll tell you what, there are some people that use that as an excuse to go absolutely nuts. I'm not saying everybody does, but there are some people, and I'll tell you what, this woman was definitely one of them. She wasn't alone. You know, there are guys that were doing this sort of thing too, you know, and yeah, it's just an absolute mess, okay? We don't need to understand, you know, all the details and everything about being polyamorous. All you need to understand is it's whoredoms. It's what our world is doing today. They are trying to repackage this sin into what seems like it's not sin and deliver it unto society to be acceptable, okay? And we have to know what these things are, though, in order to draw a clear line in the sand and to let everybody know that, hey, we are against this, okay? And we'll come back to this here in a moment. And you'll see this in chapter number 4 when we go back to it. But this idea, oh, what they do doesn't hurt anybody else, you're going to see that that's false. You're going to see that that is not true whatsoever, okay? You're there in Proverbs chapter number 23. Let's take a look at some more definition of the word whore. And please keep in mind that I am not attacking women, but you have to understand what the Bible is trying to say here, okay? So let's look at this definition. Proverbs 23, look at verse number 27. It says this. It says, for a whore is a deep ditch. We'll stop right there. If somebody gives you a test someday, right? Multiple choice. It says, hey, what is a whore? Is it somebody who is polyamorous? No such thing. A deep ditch. Okay, what are you going to select? You're going to select a deep ditch. For a whore, what is a whore? Somebody asks you at work, hey, I heard you use that term whore. What does that mean? Okay, you need to say a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. Okay, verse 28, she also lieth in wait as for a prey and increaseth the transgressors among men. So let's go back up for a second to verse number 27. It says, for a whore is a deep ditch. Okay, now what is a deep ditch? What does that represent? Well, it represents being in a rut. It represents being stuck, okay? So the Bible is letting you know, hey, especially young guys. Young guys need to understand this, okay? A whore is a deep ditch. If you want to go playing around with a whore, and I'm not talking about the person who sells himself for money necessarily, okay, although that's included in this. I'm talking about somebody who is just loose, somebody who just doesn't care, somebody who is just selfish, somebody who says, you know what, we'll get married if we're compatible, what have you, okay? A whore is a deep ditch. You play around with that and you'll be taken captive, okay? That's what it means. Think about all the people that hunt by digging ditches and camouflaging them, you know, as just the normal surroundings. What happens when the animal falls into that ditch? It's trapped. The likelihood of escape is very, very rare, okay? It's the same thing for a man going to a whore. The Bible says a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit, okay? So what's a narrow pit? You think you're going to get out of that? Absolutely not. Go back, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 22. And so the question is, can you escape? Can you escape out of this ditch, out of this narrow pit, right? There's one way down into this ditch, and it's through a narrow pit, which means it's a long way out if you can get yourself out of it. And so the question is, can you escape her selfish demands? Okay, and I will tell you, as a pastor talking with people who have gone down this road, okay, who have said, you know what, I'm going to play with the whore. I'm going to play with the loose woman, right? A lot of times, you know what happens? They'll contact us, and they'll want to talk, and they'll want counsel. And look, I want to help, and I want to give counsel, but I'm telling you from experience, these people have it bad. They're in a rut. They're in a ditch. They're in a basically emotional hell, and they don't think they could get out. That woman leaves him because this guy can't all of a sudden meet her implacable demands, and he is literally just left soulless, almost seemingly. Just heartbroken, just not understanding what to do. You know, and it's tempting sometimes when you see that to look at this person and just be like, hey, just man up and get rid of her. But it's not that easy, okay? It's not that easy because there is something about the spirit of whoredoms that hooks you, that grabs you and wants to hold you down into that ditch. You'll start feeling, and this is what guys will start to feel who get caught up into this. They'll start to feel like I'm less of a man because I couldn't turn her away from that. I couldn't get her out of that. I've seen many, many men slain by whores. I'm telling you, this is a real thing. I've seen many, 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 listen to me, many Christian young people, many Christian middle-aged people be slain by whorish women. It is a serious problem, and it's something that you ought to take heed to now before you ever get tempted to even go down that road. But real quickly, look at Proverbs 22, verse 14. It says this. It says, the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. So obviously, you know, this kind of definitely applies to the world, okay? The people in the world who don't love the Lord, who don't know the Lord, who don't see anything wrong with this, who would say, you know what? I desire to be in a polyamorous relationship, in a whoredom relationship. Take Will Smith, for example, okay? Why do you think he did what he did? Why do you think he acted with the rage that he acted with? Because he knows in his heart that his relationship is in a deep ditch, in a narrow pit. That's his soul is in that. Now, I'm not saying he's saved. I don't believe that guy's saved at all. But what I'm saying is that he has been taken captive by a whorish woman. Yeah. Right? When you listen to his wife, or whatever you want to call her, talk, you know what she does? She blames him. That's what she does. She blames him. Well, it's his fault, you know, that I did this. You know, he needs to just be okay with it. He needs to just not be so possessive. He just needs to not be jealous, okay? Hearing language like that should alert you guys, okay? Because look, there, what does it say? The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. Strange women, and I've learned this, have learned how to use their mouths to talk men into their snare. Understand? Look, I've seen this. I've had them come after me in my younger days. Look, there are women out there who have made it a sport to try and take away a man from his wife. Do you know that? Those women are everywhere. They're in almost every single workplace that has women in it. And again, please understand, I am not attacking women, but I am simply stating a fact. This type of thing is a weakness to men. Men are visual creatures, okay? And when you get some of these women around and they have this agenda, look, you got to be on double guard, right? You got to be like Joseph and make sure that you're able to flee and run away. If you think you're going to be able to play with this, oh, I'm just being nice, or oh, I'm just being nice, I'm just being polite, I'm going to show her the love of God. No, she's going to show you something and you're not going to get out of it. That's what's going to happen. You will be destroyed. Okay, but not only you, but people who have nothing to do with you. Okay, go to Genesis chapter number 38. Genesis chapter number 38, and we'll talk about that here. Think about Samson. What destroyed Samson? What was Samson's ultimate downfall? Whoredoms, playing around with these whores, loving these strange women and trying to get them to be loyal and faithful and to stay with him. That ultimately destroyed Samson, didn't it? Do you think you're stronger than Samson? Oh, because you watched 10,000 sermons on YouTube all of a sudden and you know the truth about prophecy, which is great. Amen. Praise God. But you think you're some kind of super spiritual hero that you're going to escape this. You're not. You're not. Look, there have been many, and you better listen to me, there have been many people who have watched the documentaries, who have watched the sermons, who know the truth, who have been slain by whorish women. And you can take that to the bank. It is true. So, you're there in Genesis chapter number 38. So, I said this, right? the result of whoredoms, it doesn't just affect the people involved. It affects other people as well. So in Genesis chapter number 38, you get this story here about Judah. Okay, not the tribe of Judah, but the man Judah, the son of Jacob. And it's thrown right in the middle of Joseph's being sold into slavery. And so the Bible starts talking in this chapter about how Judah married a wife and he had a couple of sons. They were wicked before the Lord and the Lord slew them. Okay, well, one of his sons was married to a woman named Tamar. Okay, well, Tamar's left like, you know, well, I'm without a husband. So he gives Tamar a son, Onan. That doesn't work out. Onan's a wicked person. God kills him. And so Judah says, hey, well, just wait for my other son to grow up and go live with your dad until it's time. And so she's like, okay, I'll go do that. Well, when his younger son was grown, do you think that Judah fulfilled his promise? No, he didn't, right? It wore off. He didn't do that. He didn't go through with what he said. He didn't give his youngest son to bear seed and to basically carry on the name of his brothers. He didn't do it for whatever reason. We don't have time to get into it. And so she comes up with a plan. Well, I hear that Judah's in town shearing sheep. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover my face with a veil, which in that time was a symbol that, hey, I am a prostitute. I am a whore. So he does this, or she does this rather. Judah sees this and says, oh, I'd like to make a transaction. And he goes through with it. And what do you think happens? She gets pregnant, has a child. And when Judah is told about this, it's where we're going to pick up the story here in verse number 24. Look what it says. It says, and it came to pass about 3 months after, okay, 3 months after, that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burned. Well, first of all, I mean, there were two that partook of this ordeal. Okay, it's not right just to blame Tamar, is it? No, because Judah's the one that also went up and said, hey, I would like to, you know, partake of these services. So he is just as guilty. But what does he do? He does what every brilliant and good, super mega righteous, hypocritical person does, right? Let's burn her. Let's just throw her to the fire. Okay, that's his answer. And what do you think happens after that? He gets exposed. She exposes him. Then he has a real change in attitude, right? Does he recommend burning himself? No, if you've read the story, you know that. Oh, yep, you're more righteous than I. Whoops, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to say that. And you know how that kind of story goes. But we're going to leave it right there. But what I want you to understand from this verse here is the cultural view. Look at how people come to Judah. Look what they say about this child who didn't get a choice, this child who didn't make a decision about any of this. And he's referred to as a child of whoredom. Nobody likes that. Nobody would want to be referred to in that way. Nobody would want to have to grow up and say that. But you know what? There are a lot of people. There are millions of people that have that story, right? And let me just say this. We shouldn't look down on those types of people. Right? Because it's kind of ironic that society does have kind of like this negative attitude towards people like that, don't they? But yet then they'll go ahead and pull the Judah and, you know, well, when no one's looking, I'll go ahead and do all of this. So again, whoredom affects those that aren't involved as well. It affects everyone. And you have to understand that the spiritual forces of darkness, they understand this. They know this very well, which is why they are pushing this on our society. So this idea, oh, I should just be able to do what I want. I'm not hurting anyone. If you don't like what I'm doing, just go away. Don't watch. Don't listen. Don't worry about it. Okay? Well, if that was really true, then why do you have to put it in every song, every, you know, chance you get in the media and on all the movies and all the sitcoms and on all the TV? Why does it have to be pushed on all of those outlets if it's just, oh, just leave me alone and let me do what I want to do? No, you have to understand that we are fighting a spiritual battle. And the enemy knows exactly what he is doing. Okay? And they're trying to destroy the world. You know, oh, I ain't hurting anybody. Yes, you are. You're hurting people that didn't even have a chance, that had absolutely nothing in the world to do. Go to Leviticus 19 real quick, and then we'll go back to Hosea chapter number 4. Leviticus chapter number 19. Now, in Leviticus chapter 19, we're going to get a commandment that God gives to the children of Israel. And this obviously is initially applicable in the physical sense, but also the spiritual, okay? Leviticus 19, look at chapter number 29. It says this, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore. Lest, now don't miss this, the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. So again, what is this verse trying to communicate to us? Well, it's letting us know that, hey, when you have a nation where prostitution, where whoredoms, and there's a lot that goes into that, okay? It's not just prostitution. It's idolatry, it's adulteries, it's fornication, it's male, it's female, it's all of that stuff. When that becomes accepted, when that gets pushed, the land pays a price. And you're going to see that in Hosea chapter number 4. He says the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. So because so many people today are just basically okay with whoredoms, you know what? What does that do? It opens the floodgates of wickedness. So it's not just about the whoredoms, right? People that are okay and that want to push that, they're also okay with a lot of other wickedness and things, aren't they? I worked for a guy one time, we were congratulating him on his daughter being born. And, you know, and this was just so weird. He just instantly starts talking like, oh, I know someday I'm going to have to see her get married. But then he says this, I just hope she gets the chance before she gets married to be with a lot of different people. I'm like, hold on, dude, what? And I could talk to this guy because we'd worked together for years. I'm like, what are you talking about? Did you really just say that? Your daughter's like 2 days old. You know, or however many days. I think he probably took a couple months off. But you know what I mean? She was not even 3 months old yet. And I'm like, you're speaking like this of your daughter? I'm like, dude, what is wrong with you? And guess what? This guy was a mighty hunter. This guy wasn't no false Nimrod style hunter. Okay? For those of you who know what I'm talking about. This guy was a real deal hunter. This guy's like 6'6", just a big dude, you know, all conservative and all that stuff, you know, except for when it comes to, obviously, spiritual things. And that, and you know what? He wound up doing all sorts of wicked things, you know. I think that was probably said back in 2009, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And, you know, knowing what I know about the guy today, I mean, he's in all sorts of just crazy, wicked things. You know, and how do you think his kids are? How do you think his son, who was born later, turned out? Well, he's being told by his liberal mom that he's whatever gender he wants to be that day. You see where that leads? If I were to go back in time to 2009 when this guy made that statement and say, hey, someday you're going to have a kid and your own spouse is going to brainwash that kid to pick his gender. You know what he'd say? He'd say, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. Because even in 2009, it's not as bad as it was today. You know, he'd be like, you're insane. You know, that's not going to happen. He wouldn't even believe me. But that's what happened. Why did that happen? Because this verse is true. This is the word of God. It says, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Now, obviously, we could apply this in the house of God, right? We don't want to whore ourselves. We don't want to promote any kind of whoredoms in our own families in the spiritual sense either, which is why we harp so much on being bonded to the Word of God, in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, coming to church, and doing all these things. Because guess what? You know, you read through the Old Testament, who's going a whoring most of the time? The children of Israel, God's people, right? What do we read happens in the last days? There's a falling away, right? There's a departure. There's a departure from the faith. So what's your, I mean, you saw it in the early church. You saw it in the book of Revelation. Right? God's own people, people that are born again. You know what they're doing today? They're going a-whoring after the world, after the world's riches. The world is representative of a whore. It offers you all sorts of promises, all sorts of things. And you know what? It could be very tempting for all of us if we're not grounded, if we're not consistent. It can be very tempting for us to go whoring after what it promises. And you know what? The world's a deep ditch. The world's a narrow pit. You go whoring after that, you haven't lost your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. Hopefully everybody in here understands that. But you can get yourself stuck into a rut that God may just say, I'm going to let you stay there. And we'll have a talk in eternity. And you can spend eternity thinking about how you went a-whoring after the world, okay? So enough of that. Let's go to Hosea chapter number 4 and get moving here and talk some more about this. So again, you know, going back to, you don't have to turn there, but obviously going back to Proverbs 26, you know, speaking of the woman being a deep ditch in a narrow pit, you know, you have to look at these people and ask yourself, you know, How are you? How are you going to escape this narrow pit? How are you going to get out of this ditch? You know, how? What are you going to say to the angry husband? What are you going to say to the angry father, the angry mother? Or what about the law? You know, what happens when the law gets involved in this type of thing? You know, because I know in this state, you know, prostitution's illegal. Right? I think, I don't know, is having more than one spouse legal here? I know it's heavily Mormon, so I don't want to speak too much because I'm not really sure how it works. But again, keep in mind, I know somebody's going to email and, oh, but you missed the point of all the guys in the Bible that had multiple wives. Look, how did that work out? Yeah, not good. Did David love all of his wives simultaneously? No. Did he have trouble? Yeah. Did Samuel's father have trouble? Yeah. Everybody who had multiple wives had multiple trouble, but I'm not talking about that. That's a sermon for another day. We're talking about whoredoms, okay? Because this is being pushed heavily, heavily, heavily on our society, and they're getting more crafty with how they do it. And even in today's churches, even in Baptist churches, they would look at the sermon and say, I can't believe you said that word. I can't believe you would preach something like that. You have got to be crazy. Oh, that's why you don't have hundreds of people, because of how you talk and the things that you say. Oh, well, it's the Word of God. It's in the Bible. It's what we're seeing with our eyes. The reason why this church preaches things like that is because we read the Word of God, we look at the world, and we're like, oh, it's almost like we're living in Old Testament, Northern Kingdom, Israel, when Jeroboam II was reigning while Hosea was going around preaching the Word of God. Okay? So, with that being said, Hosea chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. He says this. It says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Now, don't miss this. Look at what it says. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. What nation does that sound like to you today? Sounds like us. I mean, think about this, okay? This is the northern kingdom of Israel. They've had prophets. This guy is a prophet. He's going around preaching the word of God. He has been commanded to live his life in a way that is metaphorically speaking to the nation of the northern kingdom of Israel. They knew who the God of heaven was. And look at what God says. Hey, there's no truth. There's no mercy. There's no knowledge of God in the land. And you know what? This church can say that about the Treasure Valley, can't we? You go out knocking doors, talking to people, and guess what? There is no truth, there is no mercy, and there is no knowledge of God in this land. That's just the way it is. And people say all the time, oh, but text this guy. You know, you say you're the only church that's got the truth? Blah, 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 it's not true. You're just arrogant. You're just prideful. Shut up. Like, how come they just don't watch this part of the sermon where I'm telling them to shut up? You're wrong. Okay? Why don't you just humble yourself and come down here and we'll take you soul winning? I will show you. I will show you 100 people in a week's time that faithfully go to church, that have no knowledge of God, that have no mercy, and do not have any truth. Now the question is, why is that? Why is that? And that's what we're going to learn in this passage here. Look at verse number 2. It says, by swearing, okay, he's not talking about saying four-letter words, right? These people were, I swear upon, you know, the golden calf of Dan. I swear upon the golden calf over here. You know, these people are swearing that they have the truth, but they don't have it. He says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. What that means there is one murder follows another. Okay? And that's exactly what you're seeing today in the American church and most Western churches, probably most churches in the world, to be honest with you, right? I mean, think about it. By swearing, you have congregations, you have pastors getting up in front of hundreds, in front of thousands of people, swearing that they have the truth. This is relevant. This scholar said this. You know, Josephus said this. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. And they're swearing, but they're lying, and they're killing, and they're stealing. What are they stealing? They're stealing truth from people. That's what they're doing. They're stealing opportunity. They're stealing blessings. They're stealing lives. You know, they're allowing all these freaks to come into their churches. And what happens is you start to see adultery run rampant, fornication run rampant in the pastor, in the youth pastor, in the small group leaders. They have no courage, and so they will not stand up and rebuke. They will not stand up and defend the Bible. They will not stand up and preach the truth that needs to be preached. And so, he says, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Look, like Pastor Thompson talked about on Sunday, Greg Lowry came to Boise, and he didn't put on no harvest. He put on a harvest for hell, but it wasn't for heaven. Okay, like, we'll put it that way. It was a harvest, all right, but it wasn't for heaven. It was for hell. You know what that is? That's murder. That is spiritual murder. Going around and telling people that you have to give your life to Christ so that he can give his life for you. Okay? The last time I checked, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that he by himself purged our sins. Not a team effort. Okay? Look at verse number 3. He says, therefore, so for that reason, don't miss this, shall the land mourn. What do we read would happen in Leviticus 19 to the land if whoredoms were allowed, if whoredoms were pushed? That the land would suffer. Okay, that the land will suffer. What does that mean? Well, read the rest of it. He says, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. So what is he talking about? Food. Okay, what's happening right now in America with food? The shelves are starting to get a little bit more thin and prices are starting to go up. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to be honest. And you said, people, you know, this guy at work was typing, he's like, I cannot believe that eggs went up $3 this week. This is insane. I don't know where he's shopping because they're on sale at Fred Meyer. But I believe wherever he's at, they probably did. He's probably at Albertsons, Mormon-owned Albertsons. You got to be careful about shopping there. This stuff's expensive. But shop wherever you want. I'm not commanding what to do. I'm just making an observation, all right? But the point is, the land is beginning to mourn. And you're going to see this in the whole world. What's the world going to be like before the Antichrist comes? Is there going to be an abundance of food everywhere? No. People are going to be starving. There's going to be famines. There's going to be plagues. All sorts of issues. The land is literally going to be in a vomit state. And why is that? It's because of whoredoms. It's because of whoredoms physically, and it's because of whoredoms spiritually. That's the reason why. Verse 4, yet no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Boy, that is your new evangelical. That is your Baptist today, by and large. I'm serious. You go out soul winning, and it's like every other door, they want to argue. You know, oh, you're a pastor. Let me tell you something. You're putting words into my mouth. I had a lady tell me that on Saturday. You're putting words in my mouth. And it's like I just asked you a question and didn't understand your snarky response, so I tried to get clarification. Yeah. You're putting words in my mouth. Do you understand what that means? Yes, I understand more than you do. Yeah. Look at verse 5. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. What is that talking about? God is saying, hey, you don't want to hear the priests. You don't want to hear the prophets. You don't want to hear the truth now, so I will take it from you. Okay? Why do you think that America for the last, couple hundred years, basically since we started, has basically been the beacon of truth in the world? Why? Yeah, it's because people, by and large, sought after God. That is ceasing at an alarming rate. People today are leaving churches by the drove. Even the new evangelicals, they're scrambling right now. I know, because I get the emails all the time, you know. Pastor, what to do because people didn't return from the coronavirus? Pastor, what to do because people just want to watch online and then they fade away? You know, it's like, why don't you read 2 Thessalonians? Why don't you read Matthew chapter 24? It explains why that's happening. But anyways, we got to move on here. Verse 6, very famous verse. It's a verse you should know. It's a verse you should understand. It's a verse you need to internalize. God tells Hosea, he says this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So again, the decisions that the parents have made affect the children. The people who didn't get a chance. But again, right? Our society says, oh, what I do is my business. What people do in the closet's their business. Nope, that isn't how it works. There are ramifications for the way that nations act, the way people act. Look at verse 7. He says this, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Look at what he says next. Therefore, will I change their glory into shame? You know, you see something similarly going on right now in America, right? The Biden administration. Right, the whole world is laughing at the United States of America because of who our president is, because who our director of transportation is, the health director, the vice president. They're all a bunch of freaks is what they are. They're child molesting predators is what they are. And the world's like, Putin's over there like, what are they going to do? They're going to do nothing. Oh, you're going to give money to Ukraine? Well, that ought to help them. Hope they know how to properly spend it. Hope they don't snort it all up their noses and use it for prostitutes and whoredoms. Yeah. I'm not endorsing either side, okay? They're both wicked nations when you get down to it. What I'm saying is that God told his own nation, hey, you want to play games? You're going to win stupid prizes. You want to play games? I will turn your glory into shame. You know, it's kind of funny how God allowed Donald Trump, and I'm not endorsing Donald Trump. He is a prideful, arrogant, queer-loving jerk, okay? That's really Donald Trump. People, oh, you got someone messaged the other day, you got your whole church to vote for Trump and he lost, blah, blah, blah. And start, you know, this big long thing that's like, get out of here, man. No, he didn't. Nobody in here voted for Trump. At least I don't think. And if he did, that's your business. It's not mine. But I'm just saying, while he was in office, though, things were better. One thing that I will say about that guy is he is a wrecking ball. He is a leader. He knows how to get things done and he knows how to win. Okay, but what did the American people do with that? You know what they did? Hey, we have need of nothing, God. Why don't you just stay up there? Okay, I'll go ahead and set the rules down here. You just stay over there. I'll stay down here and do my thing. Some of the worst people that you can confront out soul winning are people that have Trump flags in their yard. I've had more people that have, you know, the Biden-Harris sticker, you know, scratched off partially on their car now. You know, you know the sign that we believe in science and this stuff. They are more receptive, I've noticed, than the Trump supporters. Isn't that crazy? But what did God do to this nation? He said, okay, same thing. I'm going to turn your glory, all the glory that this guy supposedly gave you, and turn it into shame. Right, and all these world leaders now are looking at America like you're a joke. You have a nation full of people, full of leaders that can't even tell what gender they are. You've got judges that can't even judge whether someone's male or female. They're like, this is a wrap. We're going to be able to do whatever we want to in this world. Same thing going on here. Verse 8, they eat up the sin of my people and they set their heart on their iniquity. So again, this is a game to people. People get sucked in by this spirit of whoredom, and all it does is increase wickedness. That's what it does. Verse 9, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. So again, people like to scream and cry, and I understand it. When's God going to do something? When's God going to punish these people? When's God going to destroy them? In his time. Okay, that's what you have to understand, in his time. And he's telling the nation of Israel here, hey, guess what? I will destroy these people. I will rid these people. I will ruin you. Verse 10, look at this. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. So there's another little bit of insight that we can glean about whoredoms, about what it really means to be a whore. Right? He says, for they shall eat and not have enough. So what is that a picture of? People not being satisfied. And that's exactly what you see today. I can't tell you how many times I go to someone's house and they want me to do like $2,000 worth of work for $100 and whatever. You know, like this guy said to me the other day, nice guy, but he's like, hey, can you clean the condenser coils on my refrigerator? I'm like, well, that brand there, I got to pull it out and take the back off. It's going to be this much. He's just like, I don't want to pay for it. I'm like, well, then I don't want to do it. He's just like, you really going to charge me? Yes, I'm going to charge you. Yeah. I'm not working for free. Yeah. It's not going to happen. I don't want to do it. I could do it myself. I was like, you better not even try to do it on that thing because you will damage something. That requires, I had to go through training to do that. Not going to happen. But anyways, that's the mindset today. People just can't get enough. You notice that when you're talking to people? There is enough food right now. But are people thankful for it? No, they're just focused on the bad. They're just focused on the negative. Do you know what? I went to go get coconut milk the other day, and there was only oat milk. Go down that way. And go off to some of these neighborhoods, okay? And those are the types of people that you're dealing with. Because that's my new area. I went into someone's house today who I knocked on their door, and she slammed the door in my face. Yeah, I got a good deep look at what goes on inside those walls. And now I understand completely, and that's a story for another day. We got to get moving here. I don't want to keep you here all night, okay? Getting way off track. Verse 11, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Okay, that's what it does to a nation. It takes away the heart. Kind of interesting today, whoredom's being pushed, whoredom's being repackaged into something seemingly nice, beneficial, medically, scientifically safe, going against the social norms, going against the traditions that the Christians brought up for us. What else goes along with that? Drunkenness, wine, they go hand in hand. Where you see one being pushed, you will see the other in some capacity. Verse 12, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. So what God's saying here is, hey, they turn to everything other than the prophet, everything other than the word of God. They're asking counsel at anything but the Lord. Why? Because they don't want to hear the truth. You know, what did the priests so-called of the land tell Amos? Hey, go say that stuff down in Judah. That's what he said. Hey, go say that stuff down in Judah. We don't want to hear that. We don't want the king to hear this. We don't want him to be displeased. So go take your message, Amos, down to Judah. Right, go take it to the new IFB. Go take it to the Baptists, you know. Well, no, the word of God needs to go everywhere. It needs to go everywhere throughout the entire land, okay? Verse 13, they sacrifice on the tops of mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredom and your spouses shall commit adultery. So he says the shadow thereof is good. So what he's telling these people is they're shallow. They're shallow. You know, go listen to some of these preachers around here and some of these churches, and it is very shallow. And go talk to their congregants. They are very shallow is what they are, by and large. And you know what the worst thing is? There are saved people in all these churches, just about. Not the Mormons. I'm not talking about the Mormons. But, you know, I've met saved people that go to Rock Harbor. I've met saved people. We've met saved people that go to the Nazarene Church on the... What, over in Nampa at the college. You know, you ask her, how'd you get saved? Well, I went to this Baptist church when I was a kid, and independent fundamental, just like you guys. And they gave me the gospel, and they can tell you the gospel. But I just like it at this church because there's just such a feeling of worship. It's like, no, you've been basically taken captive by the spirit of whoredoms. But let's move on. Verse 14, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. So what is he saying? He's saying, hey, before I allow the Assyrians to come in and conquer you and take you captive, this will be the state. People are doing all this wickedness, and God's like, just going to let it go. Just going to let it happen. And then eventually, you know what? God causes them to be vomited out of the land, just like he told them back in Exodus. Verse 15 says, though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear the Lord liveth. So look, God's just fed up here. And he's like, just do this. You want to play these stupid games, and you want to go and submit yourself to whoredoms? Don't even think about going to my people. And I believe that's the same message that God would tell these ecumenical preachers out here. Hey, don't even go to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. Don't even go to Verity Baptist Church. Don't even go to any of these other churches. Don't go to Sure Foundation. Don't go to First Works. Don't go to Faith Word. Don't go to Steadfast. Don't go to any of these churches and try to bring your garbage into there, because they don't need it and they don't want it. And praise God, there are still men of God in this nation and in other countries, to be honest with you, that will stand up against the whoredoms, physical and spiritual, because that's what we need today. Look at verse 16. It says, "For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place." So again, once that backsliding is just taken off and they're just steamrolling downhill, God's like, "I'm just going to let it go." And he says, "Hey, my only commandment now is just don't even go to Judah. Don't bring that stuff down there. Don't even try to infect them. They don't need that." Look at verse 17. "Ephraim is joined to idols. Let them alone." Verse 18. "Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love give ye." So again, whoredom brings shame. And that is what our nation is basically saying to the world. "Hey, come look at us. Look at how shameful we are. We're so shameful, we can't even tell you we're shameful. In fact, we're proud, right? We're proud of this. We're proud of the inclusive, coexist nation that we've become today." Look at verse 19. "The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices." So we need to understand, as ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven, that this nation will be judged one day. That's why we need to develop patience, though, because look, the things that you hear and see in the news today can and have the potential to drive you absolutely nuts. I'm telling you, real quickly, go to Hosea chapter number one. Hosea chapter number one. We're almost done, getting ready to wrap this up here. I want to show you what all of this boils down to, okay? The main point that I want you to take away from whoredoms, both physical and spiritual, okay? Hosea chapter one, look at verse number two. It says this, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom." You see that there? God says, hey, the land, basically saying, hey, just about everybody here, the majority, if you will, have committed great whoredom. Look at what it says, departing from the Lord. Do you know what the big problem with whoredoms is? It's unfaithfulness. Show me a fornicator and I will show you somebody who's not faithful at work. I'll show you somebody who is not loyal. I will show you somebody who would be a problem if you were to select them to be on your team. So I know plenty of Navy SEALs that are fornicators and special forces guys. Yeah, and they cause a lot of problems. There's a reason why you get it when you get up into the higher echelons of special ops, at least it used to be this way in this nation, like you want to go Delta Force, you want to go high-level Navy SEAL, that they would look for people that were married. Yeah, the documentaries will tell you, oh no, it's better if you're not married, and it's kind of true, but they know that somebody who's married is only thinking about one person instead of like, hey, when's this mission going to be over so I can go out in town? I'm just being honest. That's just how it is. That is just the way that it works. The problem with whoredoms, okay, and it comes in all different styles, is unfaithfulness. How are we commanded to act as God's children? Well, we're commanded to be faithful in all things. Go to Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter number 20. So I'm going to give you four things really quickly about being faithful, okay? And the first one is this. You have to understand that finding faithful people in the world are rare. Okay, look at this. When was Proverbs 20 written? Thousands of years ago, right? What, 2,000-3,000 years ago, something like that? I don't know. But look what it says in Proverbs 20, verse 6. Look at the words of Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. Look at this godly wisdom that he gives us. He says this, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" And look, I'll tell you what, the state of the nation of Israel during Solomon's reign was far better than anything you, I, our parents, our grandparents have ever seen in a nation. They worshiped the Lord by the majority, right? I mean, they had peace. They had rest. They'd just gotten done with David. They had the victories. I mean, by and large, at this point in time, they weren't necessarily rolling after all these other idols and going a-whoring after all these other things. So the first thing you got to understand about being faithful in today's society is it's rare. But you know what? You, having the Word of God, you have the potential and the ability, but it's also a command to be faithful in all things. Be faithful, obviously, in you know, the things pertaining to God. Be faithful in your homes. Be faithful at work. You know, be faithful around the heathen, around the people who haven't made a decision on whether or not they're going to trust the Lord for their salvation. Why? Because it helps. It's a good testimony as an ambassador. Look, people today, they know this in their hearts. They know that most people today are unfaithful because they're unfaithful. And you know what? Quite honestly, we've all been unfaithful in some areas of our life, haven't we? And so the point that I'm trying to make is that it is rare, okay? This is a rare church. The Word of God today is a rare thing in the world, okay? You go to the Christian bookstore, so-called, guess what? The King James Bibles, they are the rarity in that bookstore, aren't they? So why not just max out? Why not just go all the way and say, you know what? I will be that rare. You know, everybody's looking for something to be different today, right? Everybody's looking for something. Oh, you know, I'm of this persuasion. Oh, I'm this. You know, I'm 3/4 this and 2/4 that and, you know, whatever. Hey, how about, you know what? I'm pretty rare, right? I'm pretty rare. I'm faithful. I'm loyal. Okay, why not be loyal? Why not be like that? Why not be reliable? Go to Proverbs 14. Go to Proverbs chapter number 14. So the first thing we need to understand about being faithful, which is the opposite of being bonded, being bound by the spirit of whoredoms, is being faithful. It is rare, but number two, it's reliable. Look at this. Look at Proverbs 14 in verse number 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. So a faithful person is not only rare, but they are reliable. And boy, don't we need reliable people today. We need reliable people in families. We need reliable people in church. We need reliable people at your jobs today because they are dying by the droves, okay? Number three, go to Psalms chapter number 31. Psalm chapter number 31. So the third benefit that I want to bring up is that being faithful gives you protection from the Lord. Psalm 31, look at verse number 23. It says this, Psalm 31, 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Now, if you've been with us on Sunday nights, you know, this last year, that should ring some bells from the book of James. What happens when we don't become doers of the word, but hearers only? We become the victims of our own self-deception, i.e., you become a fanboy. That's what you become. You become a fanboy. Go to Proverbs 28. Go to Proverbs chapter number 28. So number three is very simple. Right? Being faithful guarantees protection from the Lord. It said, oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. You know that God rewards those who not only hear the word of God, but do the word of God. Why? Because when you hear the word of God, you get that knowledge, but when you do the word of God, it turns to wisdom, which is what we need today. Last but not least, number four. Being faithful brings blessings. Look at verse 28. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 20. Verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Okay? So again, going back to the subject matter of tonight, whoredoms. Okay? Guess what? What did the people at verywellmind.com say about being polyamorous? That you can love multiple people simultaneously. Well, the Word of God is telling you that's not true. You cannot love riches and you cannot love spiritual things at the same time. Go to Luke chapter 16 and I will prove it to you. So number four was being faithful brings blessings. He says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Okay, I'm not preaching prosperity like the world would preach that to you. You know, but when you're faithful, even when you're going through trials and tribulations, you know what? You have the Word of God to comfort you. Look, I'm telling you, that is why the apostles were able to be arrested, beaten, have the Jews constantly coming after them, making up laws, delivering them up to the judgment seats, and they still had a smile on their face. Paul got beat, and he would get up and say, "Where's the next town?" Okay, that's real prosperity. When you can endure, when you can function like that under intense circumstances, They found ways to be blessed in trials and in tribulations that we've never even gone through. But you know what? The world is going to start acting like that towards us. And the question is, who's going to be able to endure? Who's going to have the patience? Who's going to have the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to muster up courage to do righteous things when it becomes illegal? We'll see in the end, won't we? Luke 16, look at verse number 10. So you guys know that this is a parable. Jesus was giving a parable about an unjust steward, this guy who wound up getting himself in trouble, and he uses his worldly wisdom basically to get himself out of trouble. But Jesus says this in verse number 10. He says this: he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And you hear this all the time. Hey, I want more responsibility. Sometimes people, hey, I want more responsibility. I want more of this. But the question is, are you faithful with the little things? Because if you're not faithful in the little things, you're not going to be faithful with bigger things. So those of you who are leaders, which is pretty much everybody in here, you know, moms, dads, bosses, business owners, what have you, the way you know whether or not to promote somebody onto honors, different positions, is by auditing how they handle the small things, okay? That's something you need to pay attention to. Look at verse 11. It says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And that's so true. You want to raise at work? You want more money? You want God to bless you? Well, the question is, are you faithful with what you currently have? Look at verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Look, that's how the world works. If you want promotion, you want increase, guess what? First of all, you better understand that as a Christian, it comes from God. To be honest, even in the world, it comes from God. The only reason that a president's a president, a VP's a VP, is because God says, hey, you know what? I'm going to allow this. You have to understand that God has allowed these freaks to rule our nation because that reflects the heart of most people in this country. Look at verse number 13. We are almost done. Almost done. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. We're done. But look at verse 13 real quick. It says this: no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So the question is, going back to the sermon title, being polyamorous isn't glamorous, okay? What was the definition of being polyamorous? Well, it was this: the non-possessive, honest, responsible, and ethical philosophy and practice of loving multiple people simultaneously. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ himself said that is impossible. Look, all you have to do, and I've already said this, go look at David's wives. Go look at Solomon's wives. Go look at any of them. They had problem. And we're not even talking about that. At least they had the decency to marry those people and make a commitment to them, right? I mean, this is on a whole nother level. This is whoredom. This is just pure evil whoredom is what being polyamorous is. That's what it is. It's nasty. It's disgusting. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we will read a couple verses, and we are done. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Look at verse number 1. So being polyamorous isn't glamorous. It's not glamorous physically, and it's not glamorous spiritually. Look at verse 1. It says, would, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. He says, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Look at verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused to you one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. As God's children, right? We should make it a point to never go a whoring after the world. This book needs to be in your ears and in your eyeballs on a daily basis. Look at verse 3. It says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, this reminds me of all these people. Oh, I just want, you know, the scholarly, apologetic articles and stuff being taught. And at that Shield Church, I didn't get that. People think, there are some people out there that think clarity is confusion. And they want confusion. Because they think if they walk out that door just being absolutely confused, that this was somehow deep. And that's just not reality. That's just not how it works. The word, you know, That's a whole nother sermon. Look at verse 4. We're done right here. He says this: "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted," don't miss this, "ye might well bear with him." So what happens when a church decides to bear with people who teach repent of your sins, or who teach, you know what, the NIV is not the devil, the ESV is not the devil, the NLT is not the no longer truth version like your pastor says? Well, guess what? You're going a whoring after idolatry. You're going after the whores of the world. That's what it's called. And what Paul's saying is, hey, there are people who are saved. There are people who have received the truth at one time who have decided to bear with those other types of people. You know, like that lady that we met several years ago, you know, talking about being an independent fundamental Baptist and receiving the gospel and how she knows that we're not saved by works. And she says, yeah, I know the Nazarenes preach you got to work and that you could lose your salvation. She told us that. She's like, I don't agree with that. But look, she's saved. She goes to a church week after week. She goes to the small groups. And she's just one example of many that we've all seen in here. You understand what I'm trying to say? Just one example of many, many people. What is that? What is that a result of? That's the result of a Christian being subject to the spirit of whoredoms is what that is. People say, oh, we don't need to really worry about, you know, whoredom and stuff like that. I'm saved. I could never go down that road. Well, Paul says you can. Yeah. You don't take heed. You don't think this is urgent. Guess what? You could possibly wind up bearing with people who preach a false gospel, have a false bag of truth, and all sorts of tricks that God never prescribed. So let me just say this. Being glamorous isn't glamorous physically, spiritually, and neither is it good to adore a whore. Okay? So I just had to say that to wake you up. We're done. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for your word. I just pray that you would protect our church, Lord, and help us to continuously gain knowledge, but also to apply it, Lord, to be the doer that you've called us to be, so that we do not fall victim to self-deception, thinking that we're something when we are nothing. Just pray you'd be with us as we fellowship, Lord, and go about our weeks. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, please grab your songbooks one more time this evening and turn to Song 165. Song 165, O Worship the King. On the first, sing it strong. O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing. Service and a word of prayer, please.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for the great message. Lord, we just thank you again for gathering us here for the biblical service, Lord. We just remember how important that is. It's about forsaking the assembly, Lord. We just pray that you bless this church and bless our sowing efforts, Lord. We just thank you for our pastor. Every week we have the pastor appreciation. We just pray that you would save travel back.